I would invite you to turn in the Bibles that are found in the pew holders in front of you to the Gospel according to St. Mark. We're reading in the 9th chapter as we come to the 20th verse. And they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the Spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps the boy from speaking and hearing, I command you come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said, "This can come out only through prayer." This is the word of God for God's people on this day. Thanks be to God. A five-year-old was asked by a new neighbor lady how many people were in his family. He responded, "There are 7 children." To which the new neighbor responded by saying, "Having that much children must cost a lot." To which the young boy responded by saying, "Oh, we don't buy them, we just raise them." Raising children requires a lot of funding, among other things, but it also requires a lot of prayer. There are several poignant and beautiful incidents during Jesus' ministries where parents present their children to the Master. There's the gathering of the parents with their children for Jesus' blessing. There's the plea of the widow of Nain for the health of her son. And there's the synagogue ruler Jairus' plea for the restoration of his daughter. And then there is the father with the epileptic son. The father initially had approached the disciples in Jesus' absence, seeking help for his demon-possessed boy. It was a pitiful sight to see as the boy convulsed and the disciples were quite helpless to cure him. Jesus had gone with Peter, James, and John to the top of Mount Hermon, therefore the transfiguration experience. And no sooner had the Master descended from that emotional charged experience than the demands and the disappointments of life were presented to him in the form of this father. And in the encounter between the distraught father and Jesus, we learn how to pray for our children. In the first place, we bring our children to God in prayer. Originally, this father of the epileptic lad had come seeking Jesus himself, but since Jesus was away on Mount Hermon, he tried to deal with the disciples. And his experience with the remaining disciples was discouraging. So the father moves from the secondary back to the primary. He battles his way back to be face to face with Jesus, bringing his boy to be healed by the touch of the Master. And in spite of the failure of the disciples, the father never doubts the power and the presence of Jesus himself. It's as if the father is saying, "If only let me get to Jesus himself, and my boy's problems and needs will be answered." When we pray for our children, we bring them into the very presence of God in Christ. There is no intermediary. We act as did that father for his son as an intercessor. And we come face to face with Jesus with our offspring. We bring our children to God with their needs, and we lift them up to Christ. We become as indeed God himself, caring for each of our children. And when our offspring are alienated from us, we know the pain that God feels because of our separation. When our children go off to a foreign land, as did the prodigal son, we know the worry and concern which God feels when we absent ourselves from God's presence. And because of this feeling, we know what it is to be in relationship with Jesus. For we bring our children to God in prayer. Secondly, we entrust our children to God in prayer. Jesus next states the condition of answered prayer. When we raise up our children into the very presence of God, we must expect, we must anticipate that great things are going to happen in their lives. Jesus says to the Father, to that person who believes, all things are possible. And here Jesus provides us with the universal truth. If we approach God in a spirit of helplessness on behalf of our children, then we will make it hopeless. But if we approach the conditions of our sons and daughters in the spirit of faith, we make all things possible for them. By entrusting our children to the care of God, we do so with a sense of possibility and expectancy. When we lift up our children in the trust to God, we do so that knowing that God wants for our offspring the same as we do, the very best for them. And when we entrust our children to God, we do so with the words upon our lips. This is your child, Lord. Bless me as a parent and all who have influenced this child, that we may be encourage them to be all that you envision for them. Lord, let me remember that this is your child, loaned to me for a little while. Mine is the privilege of caring, teaching, and guiding, not the privilege of dominating, belittling, or possessing. And it's in this light that in prayer we entrust our children to God. And thirdly, then, we receive our children back from God. Jesus takes the father and the boy aside to work the master's healing work and make him whole. And just as Jesus is about to restore and bring new life, the crowd catches up with him. And there is a last violent struggle, the battle, the boy to a complete exhaustion. And then the boy is cured. You see, whatever Jesus takes in his hands, he blesses it and returns it to us, enriched, enlivened, enhanced. He takes bread and multiplies it. He takes water and turns it into wine. He takes broken lives and makes them whole. He takes our children and blesses them. And just as Jesus presents this boy back to his father, restored and whole, because of our prayers and intercessions and entreaties for our children, Jesus presents them back to us, ready for life. What an impact our prayers must have on our children. For even when they do not heed our advice, and even when they reject our care, we still continually lift them up to God in prayer. And no matter what the geographical or relational differences between us, still our prayer reconciles, bridges, and redeems. And when we get off our knees, we know that we have done all that we can do in commending our beloved offspring to the very presence of God and to receive them back again as new creatures. I love the theological writings of that famed theologian, Irma Bombeck. She writes, "Children are as kites. We spend a lifetime trying to get them off the ground. We run with them until both of us are breathless. They crash. They hit the rooftops. You patch and comfort, adjust and teach. And you watch them lifted up by the wind and assured that someday they will learn to fly. And finally, when they are airborne, they need more string. And you kept letting it out, but with each twist of the ball of twine, there is sadness mixed with the joy. The kite becomes more distant, and you know it will not be long before that beautiful creature will snap its lifeline that binds you together and will soar as it's meant to soar, free and alone. And only then, do you know if you've done your job. For like this father who comes to Jesus with his child in need, so we bring in trust and receive back from God our children in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do commend to your love and care our offspring, our sons and daughters, our granddaughters and grandsons. Lord, receive them and give them your new life by faith. Amen.